bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We have a special guest tonight. We have Edward Addison interviewing our second time around. He has agreed to come back with us since the first interview really was excellent, and we invited him back. So, Edward, thanks for joining us. Are you there?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And once again, you know, we appreciate you coming back on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. And, you know, our listening audience goes out to many counties, so we have the ability to touch the hearts and minds of many people out there. So, Edward, as you know, my friends, is up at SCI Forest, and he has been a wingman for many years, a graduate of the WINGS program many years ago with us in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. But today he's here with us to talk a little bit about his day-to-day routine, if you will, and also a little bit about the parole board process. Edward, if you can, start us out with your day today. What did you do today, and what is the routine that you're usually involved with?
Okay, so I can answer one of those questions, you know, concerning the parole situation. I haven't yet to experience that. This is the first time I've ever been upstate, so I have no idea how that process works. But as far as my everyday routine goes, I tell myself every day, there's a challenge on TikTok nowadays, and it's called the block challenge. And what happens is you calculate every single thing that you do throughout the day, before the actual day. So at nighttime, you will say, I'm gonna set 15 minutes to do this, a half an hour to do that, an hour to do this, and so forth. And I try to attempt that every day. However, sometimes it get lost. Sometimes it only, you know, works 2 days out of a week.
This is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Forest.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Some days it only works three. The thing is those things that which I'm passionate about is an individual thing. So, you know, it's hard to find people who are passionate about the things that you're passionate about. So it, you know, there's like no encouragement to continue on, you know, so sometimes I'll get lazy, you know what I mean, concerning, you know, my duties, the things that, you know, that I wish to accomplish in life, you know, because I don't find the right role models to do these things. However, you know, just the everyday thing, you know, we have set days and where we go to the gym, we have set days and when we go to the library and we go to the school and so forth, you know, but outside of these set things that they have for us, you know, I always spend my time reading. You know, I haven't read before when I was on the street, but coming to jail, you know, after reading my first book and finally, you know, realizing the world that exists outside of reality, you know, within books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, you know, I find it to be amazing. So I pretty much love books. So that's really what I spend my time doing.
Okay, I appreciate that. You know, many of our men, you know, are busy reading, and brings me back to a gentleman by the name of Stan Tookie Williams, who was over in San Quentin for many years, and he was locked up for 6 years in a hole, and spent a lot of time reading the Black History, the dictionary, the Bible, and really found his faith in the hole, if you will.
This is a call from
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Forest.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
And just once again, if I can, Ed, how many years have you been at this institution at Forest?
I've been in Forest so far 7 years.
7 years, okay. And, you know, I mentioned the parole board process earlier because we had a gentleman at another facility who was recently turned down. Unfortunately, he had served 6 years. He's serving 5.5 to 15.5, and he was recently turned down. But I know that it is a journey as you serve time. And as you prepare for, you know, the outside, you're really also preparing for the parole board hearing that may come up in about 3 years for you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and so as you prepare for the parole board hearing, even 3 years in advance, we want to take all the right steps to really to show them the change that you have made over the years. And also you want to show them your action plan for success, your home plan or success plan. Very, very important. You also want to show them remorse to make sure that whatever happened in the past, that you express, you know, remorse, and they believe it. And this is important because with the gentleman who was turned down recently, those were the two things that they pointed out that they didn't feel were in place. Although he definitely had a action plan for the future, if you want to call it a home plan or success plan, it was there in writing. But the remorse is something very important. So if you take us back to your, you know, a moment of incarceration, if you will, how do you feel about the past and how have you changed? What's the number one change that you've made since then?
It's good that you asked that question. Actually, it's crazy because I felt like I was prepared for this question. I felt like this was a question that was going to be asked. But I feel as though me personally, I can't say for others, but I believe that I belong here, you know, simply because of the crimes that I have committed, you know. And I think what happens is it's not about just showing remorse, because remorse could be the fact that you got caught. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be actually remorse from the crime itself. You know, sometimes we say in here, you know, if I was a CO, I would do this different. Or if I was a counselor, I would do this different. But however, that could never be, because our mentalities and the experience that we have through our life won't allow us to be COs, won't allow us to be counselors, because we'll still have that negative influence on those characters. We was a CO, then we'll allow inmates to get away with this. We was counselors, we'll allow inmates to get away with that. So we'll never fully experience the CO mentality. We'll just be part CO and part inmate. So I say that because in order to have a full remorse, in order to be remorseful for the crime, you actually have to feel like the things that you did were actually bad. You know, you have to change your entire mentality. And it's not that, oh, I got caught doing the thing, but it's like, oh, my goodness, I couldn't believe I would do something like that. You know, and I think that what changes that mentality is knowledge, experience with that knowledge, whatever that knowledge may be that you have learned. Like, say, for instance, you learned medical or you learned different languages and so forth, and you were able to speak those languages. You was able to, you know, work under people who knew more than you about medical or whatever the case may be. And I think that changes the mentality and changes the mindset of the person, so that when, you know, he goes up for these reviews concerning, you know, if he or she remorseful or not, you know, there's a proper remorse because, you know, his whole mentality has changed.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate that. It's very good insight to, you know, that subject matter, which is important for every person who goes up for the parole board hearing or who goes to court for a case or for sentencing. And so I want to shift gears here for a second. If now you're 31 years old, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, if we go back to your youth when you were going to school in Philadelphia. You were growing up pretty much in a single-parent home. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. And so tell us about your family life, if you would, growing up.
My family life was, okay. You know, it wasn't, ideal because, there were some issues within the family. You know, I didn't know they were issues at the moment. It was just regular life, just a regular kid just growing up. It wasn't until later on that you would learn how, a mother or a father or your aunties or your cousins, how does life should be, And what I mean by that is there were a lot of things introduced into our families, just like any other family, such as gambling, drugs, prostitution, all kinds of stuff. And I seen these things, but, I thought they were normal because they were normal around my community. It wasn't just my family doing it. It was everyone's family doing it. So outside of seeing those things, I believe that I had a good childhood. It wasn't until I got older that I started to commit crimes and so forth. And I think, me committing those crimes was a result of those things that I've seen but never acted upon, but they were always there as a mental. They was always there as if it was normal. So now when I finally did it for myself, I didn't feel bad about it because people did it before. It was all normal.
Okay, that's great. And that goes to talk a little bit about what we say in the Wings program, that circle of influence, the people around you have to be a positive influence. And, what you've just said is that, people around you were involved in different types of things that may not be the best for kids growing up. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I've thought of this, and I don't know, how true it is or, how good it will work, but I just, maybe it's a solution. I was thinking, how kids, when they grow up, sometimes they don't listen to their parents. Their parents might say, don't touch the stove because it's hot. Don't go around that corner because of the bully. And, they do it anyway just to, for experience cases. But I think that maybe, and I find myself not listening about certain things. So I think maybe if children can find an adult, they have to find someone who has experience, not like their peers, because sometimes their peers is the one who gets them in trouble in the first place. So if they can find an adult who they can talk to freely, no matter who they are, it can be an aunt, it can be an uncle, it could be their neighbor, but if someone that they can talk to freely about many different topics, I think this will save a lot of issues for these particular kids, and it will save them from having to go through experiences because they will hear from an adult of what that experience looks like later on. Because if they hear it from somebody close, like their mother or their father and so forth, sometimes we think our mother and fathers are corny, they don't know what they're talking about or whatever, or sometimes we just feel uncomfortable with talking to them. So if they can have someone in their life that's an adult, like I said, the neighbor, the mailman, whatever the case may be, who can actually, a mentor that can actually talk to them about certain situations, I think it can prevent a lot of things.
Okay, excellent advice. It's kind of like a big brother, big sister program, or the Wings program. There's all kinds of mentors out there, role models, if you will. And let me ask you one question. We've got about just less than 2 minutes left, but do you consider yourself a role model in any way?
You have 1 minute left.
I remember one time I was on the phone. I was telling my mom, why didn't she tell me she loved me all the time? I needed it. Even though I know she loves me, I just needed to hear it, And she felt bad about it. She said, I'm sorry. And she said she loves me. And then the moment I got off the phone, somebody comes up to me randomly and say, yo, I love you, man. But this was because, this person that said they love me, I sit around, we go over, religion together. We go over, we're friends, So I think me as a person, my personality, the things that I've learned, and me putting those things into practice, I think I've become a role model. But back in the day, concerning the crimes I did, no way. But I think I'm actually shaping into one.
Okay. Eddie, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. We have only a few seconds left, but God bless you. And we're going to have you on again because I think You're a stand-up guy, and you're a guy we want to hear more from.
Goodbye.
My friends, my name is Joe Montone, your host. We were talking with Edward Addison, a wingman who is incarcerated up at SCI Forest. He's there for 7 years. He has served over half of his life in prison. He's now 31 years old, and he has made some great changes. And like he said, you know, on the outside, in the streets, no way was he a role model for anyone except in a negative way. But today, you know, there are many things that are forming within his personality, within his manhood, and he can be a role model in many ways. So that was our second interview with Ed Addison. He's a graduate of the Wings program within the Karan Framhold Correctional Facility, and he has been a wingman for at least 6 years. And I just want to thank him for being with us and taking the time to be here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And as we reflect back on his interview, you know, he grew up without a father, as many men do. And he had his mom there. And his circle of influence was basically, you know, fundamentally focused on a lot of negative things that people were doing, you know, from drugs or alcohol or prostitution and probably some other things. But he said everyone was doing it. And that's one of the challenges that we see today are neighborhoods and communities, cities, where there is an abundance of criminal activity, an abundance of accepted, you know, behavior from, you know, drug using, alcoholism, prostitution, gambling, you know, and when it's accepted, you know, the children are going to grow up to do exactly what the adults are doing. And that is what Eddie was talking about. And I applaud him for his honesty, his sincerity, his respect that he has shown us in the Wings program, and he has displayed here tonight on the radio. And he's a stand-up guy, as I said, a graduate of the Wings program. And we will have him back on the air again. So, my friends, as we continue with our program now, I want to just take a moment to tell you that, you know, if you're struggling in any way with your faith, let's get on our knees right now and pray that the Lord will bless you with the gift of faith today and that he will guide you and direct you through the Holy Spirit. And faith is a gift, and not all of our men in prison have faith. It takes time. It takes time, quality time. It takes humility to submit to the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is important, my friends. And like I mentioned on the show earlier today, there have been many men who have found their faith in a cell or in the hole, and with that, they have opportunity to make changes. But like St. Paul himself, who found his faith only after the Lord, you know, changed his life, touched him in a way and humiliated him and showed him every sin he ever committed, helped him to understand what he has done in persecuting the church itself. But God didn't, you know, take him out forever. Only for 3 days did he make him blind and give him an opportunity once again to come on board and do it the Lord's way. And St. Paul, who is the great role model for us, my friends, because he too went to prison. And he too, you know, was a martyr, a great deliverer of the word of God, but a martyr who died for the faith. But having worked on death row for about 3 years, many years ago, we like to look at St. Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians, persecutor of the church. We like to look at him as a role model for our men who were incarcerated because he truly did more damage at the time than most people will ever do in their lifetimes. But God gave him a second opportunity. So when we look at our men in prison, we too look to them as, you know, if you will, you know, followers in the footsteps of a St. Paul, and to give them another opportunity, a second chance to live again, to have freedom once again, to be let go, to be let out, and to find their way back to their families, to their children, to their communities, to be a positive impact on people, maybe for the first time in their lives. And this is important, my friends, because we all make mistakes. And there's no time like the present to make changes. And if you're out there, my friends, and you need to make some changes, you need to unload some bad habits, you need to start anew with a fresh heart, a clean heart, then, you know, we get down on our knees and we submit to our Lord Jesus Christ and to our Father in heaven. It takes humility to do that. It takes humility, my friends, in prison, you know. Every time someone goes somewhere to a visit, they have to strip down and they have to get naked and expose themselves to the correctional officers to make sure they're not carrying any weapons. And that is a humble and humiliating thing to do that they have to get used to, you know, on a daily basis. It's just part of prison life. And so I want to take a moment now to just pray for all of our men and women who are incarcerated, all of our men and women who are out there and who are struggling with their faith and with any other, you know, situations in prison, such as separation from children at home, separation from wives or parents. And we want to pray that God will bless them abundantly with the inner peace, hope, and great vision into the future. We want to pray that the Lord will inspire them to make the changes that they need to make to come home freely and to start a new life and to not be trapped in the cycle of criminal activity, the cycle of whatever it is that they love the most, their most vulnerable area, their greatest weakness, whatever it is. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will take it away from them and give them opportunity for change and to begin a new life. We ask this through the intercession of our Holy Family and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, my friends, you know, our show, Finding God in Prison, which has been in existence since 2014 now, due to the generosity and acceptance by our board here at Holy Spirit Radio and our founders, Dale and Jane Meyer. And we appreciate that greatly. We really do. And we want to take a moment to just acknowledge Dale and Jane Meyer and the great work they do here at Holy Spirit Radio. And also Frank Eliason and his wife, Carolyn. Frank, the producer of many of the programs here, who has done great work for many years. We just want to thank him for the good work that he does day in and day out. And so we also, my friends, want to take a moment to just say a little special prayer for our good friend James Beelin, the vice president of my father's vineyard, who had eye surgery today in both eyes and who is struggling now for recovery. But the prognosis is good, my friends, so we pray through the intercession of St. Lucy that he will see better than ever before. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so as we continue with the program, my friends, I want to thank our listening audience for listening in each and every week to Finding God in Prison and also to our other program, Clear for Takeoff. And you know our programs air twice each every week. And please feel free to tune in with us each and every program. Tell your friends, your family, and I hope you're getting something out of it. And if you are, I would strongly ask you to give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And give us some feedback on the programs that you've been hearing and what you like about them the most. Okay, I want to move forward today, right now, my friends, and as we go forward, you know, trust is a very important topic, and we talk about it often. We hit that quite a bit from time to time, because many times people are not trusting in the Lord Jesus, but they are trusting in man. They're putting their trust in human beings, and there's a great message out there through the Saint Faustina, who really was the person who was called by the Lord to bring the message of divine mercy and Jesus, I trust in you, to the world. And so I just want to put that out there, my friends, because if you are struggling with a decision where to place your trust, if you are weak in terms of placing your trust in God, I want you to have some peace of mind and understand that the Lord is there for you. He will be with us always, as he has promised. And there's no time like the present, my friends, to make a decision to place your trust into the Lord's hands. No one comes to the Father except through me, says the Lord. And this is an important concept. Our goal is to get home to the Father, but we cannot do it unless we get that relationship blooming with our Lord Jesus Christ, unless we believe in Jesus Christ and are obedient to the Lord and our Father. There's no way else to get home to the Father. So I encourage you right now to take a moment to pray for yourself, for your family, for your children, and pray that the Lord will inspire you to place your trust in him. Where else would you want to place your trust? Why would you want to be disappointed by human beings who have flaws, who are filled sometimes with jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, and prejudice? The Lord is clean. He's completely clean, full of love. God is love. Where else would you want to place your trust but into the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? My friends, make your decision right now and come closer to the Lord. Don't wait, but make that decision right now with me on the air. We ask this today through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, that's our show for today. Thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless you and your children.